mean, knows it's more than just stats and figures. Because anyone can learn things like that, but it's having a personal relationship. It's like knowing who He is. How many of us, if there's anyone that you can know in life, how many want to know God? Come on, how many want to know God? And knowing Him is life, and life more abundantly. When it comes to our King, it's not that He plays hide and seek with anyone. You can grow and you can mature as much as you want. You can fall in love with Him as much as you want. You can seek Him as much as you want. And when it comes to those areas, I share with the first service, we need to heighten our expectation when we come together. He said that if two or three are there, I'm in your midst. That means God Himself is here right now. God is here. He's already here. I believe personally, He's waiting for us to come. We should be waiting on Him, but He's waiting for us. He is so excited that we've gathered today to meet with Him. That we've chosen on this Sunday as a meeting point. He said, I'm going to be there. Do you know every service He shows up? But what we do with Him is another question. If you don't want Him to move in the service, He's a gentleman and He will honor that. Not that He doesn't want to move, but He wants to move in our midst. I shared with the first service, when you come into service, have an expectation to meet with God. When I get up in the morning, believe me, I do this. My wife will attest to this. I stir myself up in my most holy faith. I start to speak in those areas. I don't have to go to church. I get to go. I get to meet with God and God's people. It's like taking that spoon and begin to stir that up inside. We all need to be stirred up. I don't care what the last service you attended, how awesome it is, we have a tendency to leak. You can get all filled with the Spirit, but that's not going to last you the whole time. Amen? And to confess back, well, I remember back in 1942, that's not going to work for you either. God is a current God. So that means I need to keep being filled. It's easier to top the tank off than it is to start from nothing. But God's able to do both. And the next thing, don't get all drained either. Because when you get all drained, you get attitude. Oh, nobody in here. You get all attitude, true? How many get a little cranky in those things? And believe me, when flesh begins to dominate, you don't feel like coming to church. You don't feel like having an awesome prayer time. You don't feel like reading the Word of God. Don't give me any of that. That's the truth. Amen? And you can talk yourself out of a whole lot of things. You know, I don't really feel like going today. And it's amazing how well you feel by noon. Sun's out. Oh, man, bless God, I'm feeling better. Amen? I mean, no, you get to go. I get in the shower. I start to lather up what I got left up there. Amen? Lord, I thank You, Jesus. Today's Your day. Not only, God, I'm meeting with You, I get to meet with Your people. And you know, by the time I'm done, I'm ready to go. You can't keep me from coming. And sometimes I really feel a little adversity for the church, I think is really going to do some good. Because if somebody told you, you're not going to church, you're not going. How many are like, I'm going? You'd go. Like, man, sometimes it's like when we're at ease and everything is just whatever, we kind of pick and choose what we want. Say amen. And the other day in prayer, I was really seeking the Lord on this. I've really seen that many times when it comes to the kingdom, our relationship and our, it seems to go and then kind of, are you with me? I've never seen it be a rocket all the way. But I've learned that in the valley points, we still need to be as determined when everything's unbelievably rocking. That He's still the God in all of that. Lord, change my mentality at times that, listen, even if I don't hear from You, you don't feel like You're answering, You're still there with me. During these last 3 months here, there are times I felt like I prayed and there was nothing heard. Heaven was brash. Sometimes it felt like the words just came out of my mouth and fell to my chest. but I know he was there. Are you with me? Regardless of anything, I know he was there. When we look at those things, we have to say, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I shared with the first service, there are times I felt like the rope was pulling through my hands. Are you with me? Until I found out it was a long rope and somebody came up behind me and held tight. And I rested on them. I didn't fall anymore. Oh, I'm preaching now. Maybe the preacher shouldn't talk like this. Or maybe the preacher should. This facade that's laid out there sometime. I have flesh like all of you. Being held up in that area, no, I can rest for a moment. How many know sometimes in prayer you still got to rest? How many know somebody needs to be on the wall there seeking the Lord? I thank you, church, for praying for me. Amen? I'm looking for a report saying, you know, you don't have anything. Move on in life. That's my confession. Amen? During this time, I got a chance to witness to a few doctors, a bunch of techs, and a bunch of nurses. Hallelujah. God touched them. Amen? It really did. On my last day there, many of them came up to me. While I'm laying on that table, they were asking me questions about things. What about this? One lady comes up to me, and believe me, I'm half naked laying on a table. It's not a pretty sight. It isn't like, awesome, man, look at that. Oh, praise the Lord. No, it's whatever, amen? I got a lot of mass here, thank you. But the one lady looking at me, she goes, you know what, I experienced a divorce not too long ago. I mean, she was opening up there, amen? So I'm looking past the machine and just talking. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at, God can move. It's the Holy Spirit that leads you. It's the goodness of God. We need to walk in that as a church. That people need to know that there's good news. Then when we start in Isaiah, you're there, chapter 44. Look at verse 24. There's a, thus saith the Lord. Somebody say, thus saith the Lord. I shared with the first service, when a prophetic announcement is given, a prophetic utterance, many times the prophet, the spirit is subject to the prophet. And many times we can get a lot of flowery words in there, but I'm always looking for the message in that. Are you with me? What's God saying in all that? Notice he's starting out, thus saith the Lord. When you see something like this in Scripture, it needs to get our attention. It says, your Redeemer. I said, your Redeemer. Our Jehovah, our God, is our Redeemer. Notice it says here, I formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads the earth abroad by myself. Notice that he is the creator. I'm the one. If you want to know who created it, he did. He spread it all out there by the work of his hands. And I marvel at this, that he spins this earth on nothing and holds it by his spoken word. Could you imagine if he said, chaos, let it go? Instantly everything would be gone. But by his spoken word, he continues to have that. I think we spin like 23,000 plus miles an hour, yet it's all held together. When I look at it, consider the heavens, the work of his hands. How many constellations, how many stars, and yet he calls them all by name. Isn't that cool? How infinite is our God. He says, I spread all this, but notice he says, I'm your Redeemer. When I look at that area, all his power came to bear. He created all this, and he speaks the word, I'm the one who brought you out of sin and shame. I made the provision for you. We need to look at Jesus as being the all-sufficient sacrifice. As much as the power created all the heavens, he has a power to change our life, to take us from sin and shame. When Jesus paid that price, think about this. It cost God his life to bring us back. A God who can never be killed by man. A God who can endure everything. Who can destroy everything. That holds it all together. Subject himself for us. Man, that is incredible. That he would go to that level and die an excruciating, not just a quick death, done, you chop your head off, you're done. No, I'm going to suffer this whole time until I suffocate. Our God willingly did that. He is our Redeemer. Sometimes when you don't feel like you're adequate or worthy, realize what he paid the price for you. You are. If you were the only one, he would do it. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I love that. The life of the flesh is in the blood. What did he spill? He spilled his blood for us. No longer the blood of bulls and goats. I shared with the first service. In Exodus, when it talks about a sin offering, God made provision for Israel that no matter what your economic status was, there was a provision that you could bring. If you were well off and you could have bulls or goats, those areas there, sheep, you could bring those. If you didn't have that area and you had a turtle dove or a pigeon, you could bring that as a sacrifice. And he had this, even if you don't have that, if you can bake a cake and bring that, I can offer that by fire. How many believe that everyone had a provision? Jesus was so gracious when it comes to that. Then he all of a sudden steps in the scene and says, I'm going to give my life as a ransom for many. That you don't even have to bring it, I'm going to bring the sacrifice. That's how much he loves mankind. That people need just to come to him and realize they can be redeemed. And since we're redeemed, it says this. Psalm 25, verse 22. Redeem Israel out of all their troubles. Think about it. Sin is what's messed us all up. True? But redemption has never brought you one problem. It has set you free. Now, the world may not like it. The world may come against it. Satan definitely hates it. But your salvation has brought great things in your life. What Christ has purchased, believe me, could you purchase that? I shared with the first service, are any of you worried about what you're going to eat in heaven? Any of you? Are you worried about what you're going to wear or where you're going to live? Notice it hasn't even entered into the heart of man, those things. Yet we worry about them now. Come on. Lord will take care of you. He said this, if I feed the birds, how much more precious are you than that to me? I'll take care of you. I'll watch over you. And then one day I'll receive you up into glory. When you're redeemed, you've been purchased. You've been bought with a price. That is so awesome. No longer the blood of bulls and goats, but the precious blood of Christ. Is there anything more precious than the blood of Christ? Is there anything more he could have gave for us? When we know him, we need to know him as our Redeemer. That means you are different. You're different than the world. Think about it. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And now you become a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. When I look at that, Isaiah 50 verse 3, I clothe the heaven with blackness. I stretch it out like a covering. It says this, when my people return unto me, how many knows that's a good thing? Now, how many in here have ever lived a life where you felt empty and alone? How many have ever been away from the Lord and you feel like, man, you had conviction upon you? When you came back and finally said, Lord, forgive me, was there a weight lifted or a heaviness gone or joy begin to return? Notice that redemptive work was instantly felt. There may have been a progression in your life, but you noticed something different. I want to live that life out. We always hear the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is that always future, or can I have some of that now? Can I have some of it now? Then I want to start to walk in that. That redeemed life is a different life than what I used to walk in. I need to start to change this mentality for that life. Now, how many here, be honest. I'm going to have a great prayer time. Lord, you're so awesome. Let me see your hand. Prayer cures all insomnia. How many ever made that confession? You know what? I'm going to spend more time with the Lord. I'm just going to do it. And you started off gangbusters. Man, you hit that starting block. Boom, you were headed. Full steam ahead. Man, I'm doing this. And all of a sudden you begin to coast. Not pedaling anymore. You begin to wobble and just begin to park. One person. When you look at your devotions, I want you to look at it this way. Not that it has to be so like regimented, but it's part of your life. Because if you have children, how about this? I'll pick on you. I know her. You tell your kids from 1 o'clock to 1:30 is when we're going to have time together. That's our time with our time. That's your time with your family from 1 to 1:30. If you miss it, you miss it. How many think that won't work in a normal family? We expect the Lord to fit in that too. Lord, I'm going to do this from this time to this time. Well, that's noble you're having a devotion, but have it more natural in your life. Some of you may be able to have more time in the evening. Have that. Some of you may have better time in the morning. Have that. I want you to be consistent, but don't lock God in a box either. And don't lock yourself in a box either. Amen? Are you with me? But have it. It don't work in relationships. You can't just point it out. Now, there are times that it's structured prayer. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a living, breathing relationship. How many of you can have it every day? Amen? I like spending time with the Lord at night. Everything's wandered. Everything's done. Amen? And I have an ability to lay down and not fall asleep. It took a long time to get that way. I mean, sometimes it feels really good when you pull the covers up. When it's a little hint of chilliness in the winter, and you're like, oh, it's so nice in here. You all know what I'm talking about. But whatever time you have with the Lord, have it. Since you've been redeemed from what? Redeemed from the curse. In Jeremiah 50, verse 34, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will thoroughly plead their case. He will give rest to their land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Realize that your life is different. Those who come against you, God's able to disquiet their life, and you can be in peace. I love that about my God, that he takes care of me, that he'll watch over me. Listen, if somebody gets promoted over you because they run you down, let the Lord handle it. God will take care of you. Amen? I know for a fact I was in a company where I work with a guy. I asked him, what's your goal? Because I was there for a short term. What's your goal? To own this company. In the natural, there was no possible way. Zero. He didn't have the money. He was new at the place. He said, I'm going to own this company one day. I looked at him and said, that's cool, bro. I'll pray for you. I want you to know, before I left this company, he got promoted. The business owner came in one day. He was gone on a trip. He came in and began to watch every employee, how they did their job. And many were way over him, senior him. And he watched this one guy give it his all. Be there, be a servant, served others, watched other people not do their job, him finish that and not say nothing of it. He goes, I'm going to retire and I'm going to give my company up. He gave it to that guy. And every one of those seniors had to submit to him. Blew me away. Say amen. How many of us, God can do the impossible? Yes or no? Your God is there. Since you're redeemed, you become different. You may look the same, but you're not the same anymore. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Believe me, the enemy knows who's our God. They can see that glory upon you. It may be covered in burlap, but every demon in hell knows you're saved. When we walk in it, we walk in that power, that redemptive power. Well, what about in the world? Does the world need what Christ has? You know the scripture, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Christ became the curse. Now, when it comes to my healing, I've had to speak this continually. I don't have a total handle on how all that works, but Lord, I want to know. Amen. If you've arrived on how all that works, let me know. But Lord, I want to know, how does this work? How can I incorporate that power to work in me so other people can have that? I am going to believe, and I'm believing, for more miracles to manifest than ever before here. Amen. I'm believing for a healing ministry to come forth from all this trash. Can anybody speak that? But notice he's redeemed us. He's taken us from the curse and removed that from us. That's such a good thing. He became a curse who knew no curse. Think about it. The most blessed one forever became a curse and took it upon himself. That means he exhausted that area that was against us. Those handwriting of ordinances written, he abolished those. That I'm free. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I mean, is that every curse that the enemy tries to curse? And believe me, there's some real curses. They're not going to affect you because you belong to him. Are you hearing me here? Many times the enemy will try to flood our minds. Sometimes when we're having a moment of weakness, our emotions go that way. That's why the Word of God needs to override even how you feel. You're not denying reality, but this is what the Word says. I know what I say. I know what I feel, but this is what you say. Amen. Amen? Sometimes you need to learn to doubt your doubts. The enemy, once you get saved, the enemy is going to go, you're not saved. But before you were saved, the enemy didn't do that. Start to recognize that. Wait a minute, you liar. Before I was saved, I was just out there. But once you get something from the Lord, he'll always try to come against that. It also is so crucial, after a service like this, always have a time to reflect upon the Word. Because the enemy wants to take what's been sown there, lest it bear more fruit. And if everyone's honest in this room, if you could remember every sermon that's ever been preached to you, you'd be unbelievable. Do I have an agreement here? I'm speaking of me too. There are times where we retain some things and some things we let leak. I don't want it to be gone. I want to have that in here. I'm here to tell you this morning, you're redeemed. Now, when little Haley came up to me, she says, you know what? I have a song. I went into my room and I prayed, and here's what the Lord wanted. She didn't know my message dealt with redemption. Can God even speak to a little child? Yes or no? When it comes to those areas, we need to start letting God, you're able to. When I look at this word redeemed, in the New Testament, it covers in three areas. It means, one, to go into the marketplace and buy forth a captive. Another is to go into the marketplace and bring out that which has been bought. And the other means to let it set free. All three of these are what redeemed means. That God went into the marketplace and bought. And since he bought, he says, I'm going to bring you out. And since I brought you out, I'm going to set you free. How many think that's awesome? He paid the price, he went in and did it, and now he sets you free in it. That's redemption. That we've been redeemed, we've been freed, and I love it. And since I've been freed, I want to become a bondservant of him. Amen? I want to be a servant of the Most High God. I'm not ashamed to have him be my Lord. The world needs to hear that we have a different Lord than the Lord of the darkness. I've seen more and more that things are so out there and scattered. And when it comes to the church, never be ashamed. Man, I see this today, that we're so afraid to be the church in the world. Listen, we're collective as a church here, but I'm a church when I leave here. I'm a church in the world. I represent our God. When we do that, we start to fulfill what God said, go into all the world. Well, what's your world? You know what your world is. What if God says, I'm going to give my life for you? And whatever payment is needs to be done, I'll pay it. I mean, that'd be pretty awesome. Now, if you were enslaved, and your taskmaster's Satan himself, and God said, I can set you free and bring you out, I mean, that's pretty awesome. And what if it wasn't your payment that got you free? Your works, what you could muster, but somebody stepped in and said, you know what? It's going to take your life, but I'll give my life instead. How many be like, oh man, who is this person? I want you to know who that is. When you finally see him one day face to face, you're going to see how loving and kind he is, but yet how strong he is. How mighty he is. He has all those qualities working in him. In Matthew 20, verse 28, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. When Jesus came, listen, too often today, people want, well, serve me. Jesus came to serve. He says, listen to me, I'm the example. Follow my example. Here's what I feel. Most pastors will miss, hear me on this, will miss their reward because they'd rather been served instead of serving. You want to be great in the kingdom? Learn to be a servant. And don't look at your servanthood as one to be, look at me. Just do it. Just do it. If somebody recognizes it, cool. If not, don't worry about it. Jesus came to be. Can you imagine Jesus himself? What about this party? today I'm going to wash your feet. Everybody take your sandals off. What if he came in today? How many would be like, oh man, I'm glad I had a little pedicure. I'm glad I washed between the toes. But what if he did it after a camp event or after a picnic and you walk through everything and your feet stunk and they're dirty and you didn't shower that day? And all of a sudden Jesus breaks out the towel and he kneels down before you. How many of you are like, man, what if you all of a sudden got the revelation like, this is God himself doing this? How many of you are like, Lord, I'm not worthy. But yet he did it. He took off his outer garment and he did it. He says, if I, being your Lord, do this, how much more should you? I believe it'll change the whole church dynamic when we start looking at not our own rights, but the interests of others. Amen? To think soberly. When I realized I've been redeemed, I was one that was in bondage. I was enslaved. And he went into that marketplace and they had me paraded. And the enemy had me paraded. Said, who will offer for this one? Sin has bound him. And he said, I'll do it. I'll do it. What's the price for that one? What's the price for Tom? I'll pay it. Well, it's going to cost you your life. I'll still do it. But I'm going to pay for him. I'm going to bring him out. And I'm going to set him free. And whatever payment that's on him, I'll take on me. Salvation's a personal thing too. You need to realize that you've been redeemed. That God looked at you, if you were the only one, if you were on that auction block of sin, he'd have done it for you. Personally, every single one. I'll pay it. I'll pay it. I'll pay it. Jesus died once and for all. Think about it. For all those who reject this payment, you'll die in your sins. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, listen to me, you're going to die in your sins. For those who are weeping, says, don't weep for me, weep for your children and your children after you. You'll die in your sins. You've rejected the only hope. I shared with the first service, can you imagine of the billions of people that are on the planet and the billions that have been before us, you have the revelation of what Christ is and it redeems you. How did I ever get that revelation? Thank you, Lord. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to know him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's given you a vessel. He's allowed you to have it. Hallelujah. And I'm going to glorify God in this. During these last 3 months, there are times I've had worship times that I felt like it went right to the ceiling. Can I be that honest or no? Went right to the ceiling. Nobody heard. That's what I felt. Lord, where are you in the midst of this? And have to push through and say, no, he's there with me. My Redeemer lives. Sometimes you've got to take the own thoughts and bring them captive. No, Satan, you're a liar. That's the only time speaking to you is a good thing. You're there. You care for me. Amen? Shake that off. He's with you. He's walking through all this. When you weep, he has wept for you. When you rejoice, he's laughing with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You have to come back to that redemptive work. No, I've been redeemed. And if it's under the curse, then I'm set free from that. I'm not going to walk in that. Amen? I'm speaking that area. I'm going to put the laws of faith in operation in these laws of sin and death that's been against me. Amen? Miracles are instant. Healing is progressive. Healing's progressive. And by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm progressing from this place to a greater place. Then I'm not going to just go with the symptoms. I'm going to go with my King. Are you hearing a word here? It helps all of us in this area. I want you to have instant to hear it. Jim shared a testimony this morning. He's 81. He went to one of the life groups with at Peggy's house, Peggy and Ernie and Pastor Robert. His vision was 2050 in one and 2030 in the other. He had an eye doctor's appointment. The pressure behind his eyes were getting really high. One was 17, or both were 17, which is a place where your eyes start to stroke. He had an appointment. They prayed for him. He says he's got 20, 25 in this one, and 20 and 20 in this one, and the pressure's back to 11. I ask him, how old are you, Jim? He goes, I'm 81, and my vision's getting better. How many will take that? I'll take that. That what God does for one, he'll do for all. Lord, help me in this. When I realize who I am in Christ, that he's redeemed me, then bless God, I'm going to walk as a redeemed person. How would you feel if you're on that platform, and this is a stage that's an auction, and you're left there, and believe me, you have no rights, you're destitute. Many times they were stripped naked, so they had nothing. All shame was there. And you were brought forth. Who will pay for this one? And whatever the highest bidder was, you became enslaved to them. Didn't matter what your family was, who you were. And then one walks in that's different. I'll pay that price. What shame you would experience, I'll take it. Was he stripped naked? Was he beaten? He paid it in full. I'm so thankful for my Savior. I'm so thankful that it wasn't silver and gold. He just didn't shove some money and say, okay, now, no, my precious blood is going to pay that price. It's the only price that'll pay for yours in full. Since you've been redeemed, we have a new life. My life now, my identity now is in Christ. I'm different than the world. When the church tries to be like the world, bless God, the world is confused. The church is reduced to nothing. Come on, we're different. I'm not better than somebody, but I'm redeemed. And I want what they have to know. Listen to me. What you have can be greater than what I have. Oh, no. What I have is so much greater. People need to see that. When they come in and there's no different, they go, there's no difference. Do the same thing as everyone else. Why do I need your Jesus? And here's the next thing. Be careful on this love movement. That God loves everybody. That's true. But the soul that sins shall surely die. Okay? Jesus paid the price, but if you reject it, doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It means that you're walking in your own righteousness. It's one of the greatest things the Lord hates when we walk in our own righteousness. When we think we're there. Did you pay the price for sin? Absolutely not. He's the only one that was sinless. The enemy's trying to use that against. He's trying to say, well, God's love, he won't send anyone to hell. No, he doesn't send. We package ourselves. If you reject the only hope, then you walk in judgment. Does that make sense? There's got to be a balance in that. The enemy's trying to push it over to the other side. I had to witness that the other day. Somebody said, well, God is love and everyone's going to go to heaven because that's because God loves them. I go, God loved them. He sent his son. That's the love of God, that he sent his son. God so loved the world that he gave his son. So we have to get a good definition of what real love is. The redemptive work of Christ is real. How many want to walk in that? All of us in here have failed. Every one of us needs to be brought back. I've learned this, the process of regeneration. I don't know how far I've fallen until I start to come back. And some of us enhanced it by living a life that may not have been adequate previous to Christ. Yes or no? We bear in our body our own marks. We do. You know your own scars. You know your own failures. And dare I say now, some of us would have made wiser choices years ago. Some of us would have said no more and yes to him more. Some of us would have been like little Haley. I wish I'd have done that at X years old. But since I can't go back, then Lord, you can restore me from where I'm at. It's never too late to be restored. I love things that are restored. I really do. I'm fascinated on things that used to be this way and now they're this way. I haven't arrived yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen? As your pastor, having these months of really just pretty crummy times, it's really bringing me down to a place of being stripped bare again. It's not that I was living in sin or doing anything wrong, but it kind of strips you of all this stuff. Who understands that? But it's a place where God can build again. Sometimes he'll take you on top of the mountain and pluck all your feathers off. If you ever watch an eagle molt, and I recommend sometime watch a video like that. There's one where an eagle, full grown, beautiful, all his feathers are pulled out. And he's back to the place where he can't fly anymore. And other eagles come and drop food and feed until it all comes back. And he goes off the mountain and flies again. I know that feeling. Sometimes God will take you to those places where you're going to get some new feathers to fly higher, to fly stronger, to help somebody that may be in the same condition. I met about 20 people when I was in there, each one of them. I get a chance to pray for you. When I said that, everyone had a shocked look on their face, like, what? Nobody talks like that. But by the third visit, they're all like, amen, I'll pray you get better. They have this little bell you ring when you're done with your treatments. And it's a pretty decent bell. It's like a bell off of a boat. You got a big clanger thing in there, and they all stand there and they say, well, ring the bell as you go. And I'm like, dude, this is corny. I walk by and say, no, you got to ring the bell. I go, I got to ring the bell. Okay, I'll ring the bell. I called my wife in and they're all standing there with their eyes just so big because they don't want you there either. It shows some humanity out there. So I rung the bell and man, I made sure I clanged that thing. Well, there's a hallway, and out there there's a reception area, and then there's an area where they bring in the patients, admission, and they all heard it. And every one of them is cheering because you're done. I said, I'd rather see you at a picnic than hear you again. How about him? When we finally make it to heaven, thou art worthy, Lord. You have redeemed us from every curse. Are you with me? And when he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful. Well done, good and... Won't you cheer? You'll be that area because you're different. You're allowed to be there. Your confession of faith brought you to that place. And all those that are there, every angel standing at attention, what Christ has done for us. Then when you're finally rewarded, we'll take our crowns and we'll cast it at his feet. Say, thank you. You have redeemed us from every. For thou art worthy, Lord. We need to celebrate him more now. We need to speak that redemptive work in this land. Because we have the right message. We have the awesome God. I've been redeemed. I'm no longer going to go back to the slave of sin. But I'm going to follow my Redeemer, for he lives. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy this morning? We only got through one part of one name. But he's a good God. How many here still have areas where you get tripped up? You know the Lord's dealing with you, but there's still areas there where, Lord, I need you to help me with this. Let me see your hand. Okay. I asked the first service this. How many here at times you still get a battle in your mind? You know God's forgiven you, but there's sometimes you just get that battle. How many here had the enemy still lie to you and say, you're not saved, you're not this? Start to recognize that voice and rebuke it. No, I am saved. Satan, you're a liar. Third area there. You know the Lord's dealing with you and you're getting victory, but there's always that hint of going back to that area again. And it's like the enemy tries to draw you back and no. And you get victory for a while, but you still feel that little tug. It's the only way I can describe it. And then when you're weak in those areas, you begin to think about it more. And then soon you fall into that. Anybody else? And last here, how many want to identify with Christ? You want to be able to speak that I'm redeemed. I am different. Was I this way? Absolutely. Probably worse. When you're honest with that, when somebody brings up your past sin, You know what I try to do? You're absolutely right. Now it's probably 10 times worse than that. But Christ has redeemed me. And why is it church people seem to be the best at bringing up your mistakes? Shouldn't they be the last ones? Oh, it's barf. Just say you're absolutely right, not probably 10 times worse, but Christ has redeemed me. Shuts that right down. Amen? Your deep, dark secrets, if you need to share with them, make sure you don't share with people that got a big mouth. If you need to get it off your heart, that's one thing, it's fine. Get it under the blood. Forgive yourself, too. We are all boneheads in sin. Say amen. We're all knuckleheads, but thank be to God, He redeemed us. And last here this morning, when we walk in this newness of life, I need to recognize the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. My righteousness is unworthy. His is worthy. That if I sin, I fail, I'm quick to get up and keep going that way. That redemptive work will be right to the end, complete. And then one day you're going to like how you turn out. Honestly, you're going to go, cool. You'll like how you turn out. You'll like the company which you'll keep. Hallelujah. And in a million years, I'm still going to know you. In 10 billion years, I'm still going to know you. It's going to be so awesome. I share with the first service. Here's a revelation. God's creative, redemptive work will never stop. So if you think heaven's going to be boring, it's never going to be that way. His redemptive, creative work will always be in operation. How infinite is your God? That's how infinite our heaven's going to be. Isn't that going to be cool? That's how incredible it's going to be. He calls every planet by name. There are billions upon billions. And yet he called me out. He said, I'm going after you, Tom. You. Thank you. Amen. We're going to serve him. And this time here will be just a blip. But I'm glad I got a chance to know you on this planet too. Amen. Maybe some of you will be my neighbors. That'd be fun. Now, I don't know who will be my neighbor, but some of you will be my neighbor. Will you be my neighbor? You enjoy this morning? If you would lift your hands towards heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your redemptive work. Now, if there's an area that you need victory in, just speak it to the King. He knows it all together, but speak it, Lord, help me in this area. Let him put his hand out on that. Let him show you that you can change. If there's a thought in your mind, there are times you're battling, release that power in that area. Rebuke the enemy. Say, no, I have the mind of Christ. If there are times that your flesh dominated and you allow that to rise up and make your decisions in the spiritual realm, say, I'm going to crucify that flesh. Or last here, realize who you are in him. That you've been redeemed, that you're precious, that the blood of Christ paid it in full, and you're thankful for it. Now, Father, bless your people with great peace. Lord, go with them in strength and power, and bring us back in that appointed day. In Jesus' name, amen.